this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9. We're here at that conference, and I have my friend here, Jimmy.
Good to meet you, Seth.
So we've had you on before.
Yes.
And so we're going to do something a little bit different this time. Nick had a really good idea. We picked how many random topics?
That many. A dozen.
A dozen random topics. And as you can see on the screen, we are going to pick one at random, and Jimmy is going to tell us what he thinks about it for 2 minutes.
Okay.
Five of them.
Five of them random. Okay.
First five. After that, first. So, by the way, tell us who you are and what you do.
My name is Jimmy Bogard. I'm a developer out of Austin, Texas, and long walks on the beach, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I love that stuff too. All right. So, topic number one.
AngularJS.
What are your thoughts on AngularJS? And you can go all get off my lawn and everything.
So, my first impression of AngularJS was it was a great framework designed by people that have never built an actual app before. You can tell the difference between a framework that's actually been pulled out of an application that's in production versus one that were like Java developers kind of opining in the corner like, I wish they could build something that was just like Spring.
So you think it's over-engineered? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's the wrong abstraction for the web. Just like it's when my spidey sense is when people that really like Silverlight and really liked any sort of WPF MVVM, they love AngularJS. That's my sense that something is off. Something is seriously
off. So you don't like anything that's like MVVM-ish?
It has its place, but it certainly shouldn't be the default pattern of how you build applications.
Okay. But and not for the web.
No, stateless, because the web is stateless. So you should build something that embraces that stateless nature of the web.
Okay, that was pretty good. Do we have time left over?
You have 55 seconds.
55 seconds.
So what do I like instead? So I've tried so many stupid frameworks over the years. Started with, well, obviously nothing. Uh-huh. You know, just jQuery slung at the page. Uh-huh. Went to Backbone Marionette, Angular, Ember, Durandal.
You've been around the block, man.
I used all of them. Like I hated them equally. Like something was wrong. Something was wrong. Why is it still so hard? They made the way they solve problems easier, but they didn't actually solve the root problem.
What's the root problem? Like how you feel about yourself? Is that? it's Angular's not going to make you feel better about yourself.
So the way React is different is that it embraces the stateless nature of the web. That whole thing of you have a clean slate. Wipe the browser clean, entirely new HTML. React embraces that and says, let's go back to the way things used to be.
So you're a React
time.
Flux
DDD.
Guy.
Okay,
DDD, okay, out of time, DDD.
So a couple years ago, the guy that wrote the DDD book, Eric Evans, had another talk that was DDD 10 years later. And basically he said that he wrote the book wrong. He said the part that was the most important part was the last section, which just talked about How do you design systems and applications that can respond well to change over time? How do you make sure you build systems that are exactly what the customer needs and fit to what their view of the world is? And the front part was just about like, what's a repository? What's a entity? What's a all these like coded terms? So it was very code centric. So what he said was like, I wish all that stuff, if I had to write this book again, was in the back, like an appendix or something. And the most important part actually dovetails very well to what the microservices community are talking about. So when you hear those guys talk, they talk a lot about things like bounded context. Those are the parts of people that by the time they're getting through the book, they're like, okay, I'm done with this. Let's just go write some code. Mm-hmm. But those are the most important parts to figure out how do you subdivide the system into meaningful components that can change well over time.
So what is DDD? What's the definition according to you of DDD? Domain-driven design.
What's the definition
so
of
DDD? So how would you define it? Say I don't know anything.
Domain-driven design is about tackling complexity in the heart of software. Actually, that's just the title of the book. I just put it out there. So domain-driven design is about bridging the gap between someone's conceptual model about how their world works to actually putting that into code and having it still make sense.
That sounds like very like we're around the campfire saying, yeah, man, we should tackle the hard problem. What does that actually mean when we're doing this stuff?
Okay, so let's say you're a...
10 seconds.
10 seconds. Well, if you have something called an invoice in your world that you live in, you should probably have something called an invoice in the application that you're developing with.
Okay.
Time.
Okay, what's the next one?
Web application architecture when written in MVC.
MVC architecture.
Okay, MVC architecture. So one of the negative things about MVC is that we've had to live with all the mistakes of people in the past, and in every new MVC framework we create, we're building on top of old concepts that aren't really necessarily great ideas. So one example. A lot of MVC frameworks you see these days prescribe that you organize all the things in your application by what kind of thing it is. So controllers go into controllers folder, models go into models folder, views go into views folder, and when you find we're actually building one of these applications, you're going all over the map to try to just build a feature as opposed to going to one place.
I saw your post on this.
Yes.
And I was like, that's brilliant. Jimmy couldn't have written that.
No, it was just too intelligent.
No, it is brilliant. I'm jest, obviously. But you were saying, like, if you have an invoice thing, why don't you put all your controller, your model, and your view into that invoice folder, right?
Yeah, just put everything together that has to change together. And there are frameworks that are doing this. Like, Django has a concept of applications.
That's a Python MVC.
Yeah, and I was just told that today. I have no idea if that's actually true or not, but someone told me that today. But every other MVC framework you look at organizes by what kind of thing it is. So Rails, you've got models, you got views, you got controllers. Even if you're using client-side frameworks like Ember, still organizes things by what kind of thing it is. And you can't just look at it something like, how does this all fit together? What are the things that are needed for this thing to work? And so shifting it a little bit to say, why don't we put the things that change together to be together, then it just makes it much easier to understand what the hell your system is
doing.
It's like
the controller and the model that live together stay together.
Exactly.
That's interesting. And so now what you're doing is
till pull requests do them part.
Yeah, that's right. 10 seconds. So now you're saying find the little functionality you want to build and put all that stuff together and make it work.
Which is incidentally exactly what React does.
Time.
Oh, we just went back. All right, next thing.
Wrapping around. Cheeseburgers with peanut butter on them.
Cheeseburgers with peanut butter. Is that a thing?
Yes. Okay.
Where?
Nick and I were at the Brewers game the other day. And there's some famous burger place you're supposed to go there, and their signature burger dish was a burger. It was just meat, bacon, cheese, and peanut butter. And so whenever you're...
Like, I feel, this is going to be crass, but I feel like diarrhea coming on right now just by thinking about it.
Well, that didn't happen.
Okay, thank you.
But what did happen was a delicious meal.
It was good?
It was good. So if you go to a restaurant and they say, this is our number one signature dish, even if it looks disgusting, you're thinking, you know what? If they're proud of this, I should have it.
Yeah, but if you're like in some weird part of Mexico, it's a horse taco, man. It doesn't mean it's the best thing ever, right?
Yes, we have menudo in Texas too. So.
Oh, it is good, by the way.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
So what was it like? I mean, it was a burger with peanut butter and bacon.
And that's it. So no condiments, no lettuce, no vegetables.
Well, you can't put ketchup on that stuff.
No, that would have destroyed it. But someone was like,
drunk
and
or
like altered mind enough to say peanut butter on a burger, and it was awesome. It was awesome.
Well, can you describe like the texture?
It
had
tasted
really
like
weird.
A bacon cheeseburger with peanut butter on it.
Was it crunchy or creamy?
Crunchy or creamy peanut butter?
It was crunchy. Crunchy peanut butter.
What?
But it was bacon, so the bacon was already crunchy, so I couldn't tell if it was the peanut crunch or the bacon crunch, but it was awesome.
This is the thought of like, man, was that the peanut crunching or the bacon? I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
That was just weird.
It was just perfect.
What do you drink with that?
What was I drinking?
Yeah.
One guess.
Uh-oh, Jimmy's liver is saying, I know what he was drinking. I'm still cleansing it right now. That's awesome. All right, so what's the next one, Jimmy?
Done. Right. 2 minutes on being the Jimmy Bogart.
The Jimmy Bogart.
Are you sure that was the random one? I don't believe it, Nick.
What is it like to be the Jimmy Bogart? It's on the screen. I mean, we can see it.
Oh, jeez. Okay. People make fun of me about being myself sometimes.
Yeah. You check in like a lot of drinks all the time, man. Like, it's like 10 in the morning and Jimmy's like, hey, I've had another pale ale. I'm like, wow, Jim. It's like 10 in the morning.
The time zones? I mean, you don't know. I could be in Norway or something. You don't.
So there's a number of things that you've done that I think are pretty cool. The first one's AutoMapper.
Yeah.
I tried writing one once.
Yes.
And I was like...
It takes a certain level of intellect,
and
ability.
Yeah, intellect craziness. Yeah. I mean, you're literally taking any object and mapping it to another.
That's literally what the library does.
Don't
you
do some IL rewrites too, just to make it faster?
No, I ripped that stuff out. I couldn't understand it. Like, there's even some things beyond me, and IL stuff is one of those things.
But so for those that don't know, we have 1 minute. For those that don't know what AutoMapper is, what's the main job?
The main job is to remove the boring left-hand side, right-hand side code that you usually see, and taking objects from one thing and putting them into like another DTO or some other thing on the other side.
Can it also flatten?
Yes.
When it flattens, can you do, like, what's the hierarchy level of flattening that it can do?
I mean, as stupid as you want to get to do, I guess.
Is it perform? Is it fast?
So the way I typically use it these days is I use AutoMapper to generate a link select expression that gets passed into Entity Framework that gets translated as SQL at the database. So it never actually hits my domain models at all. It just goes straight from database to DTO, exactly like a database view would do.
So it's not even like, you're not even having like the entity objects being created.
No, just skips all that lazy loading, all that change tracking, all that stuff gets totally skipped.
There's like magic sorcery going on there.
We like it.
He's giving us a time. Okay, time.
Oh, okay.
Next one. That was it.
That's all fine.
Oh man, that was pretty good.
All right.
How'd you like that?
I am my least favorite topic, so that was a tough one. Yeah.
Nice.
Like, how do I not sound completely ridiculous?
Well, we just did a really we'll call it the lightning interview with five random topics with Jimmy Bogart. Thanks for doing it.
Not even that. Well, I guess Angular is controversial.
Yeah,
that's something.
No.
Yeah.
No, next time we'll try to put in more controversial.
There was a VB.net one on there too.
So. Oh. He did talk about a peanut butter hamburger. Thanks for spending some time with us. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.